Okay, it's good to be back in the pulpit of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I'm going to preach tonight on why I use the King James Version. Somebody say amen right there. And turn your Bibles, please, if you will, to, let's see, 2 Timothy, first of all, 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Page 1281 in your old Scofield Reference Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture, oh, will you get there? Hurry, it's in there. Just keep looking. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's why we need the Word of God. Now, then another passage. Over in, if you haven't found 2 Timothy, just go ahead and look at Psalms now. And Psalm chapter 12, page 604 in the Scofield Reference Bible, Psalm 12, verse 6. The words, I'm going to wait just a minute. These are important words here. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words, oh, now this is David. If you have a Scofield Bible, it says this is a Psalm of David. So David, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote these. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God's preserved his word to us today. Aren't you glad of that? Let me pray just right for Father, I pray that you'd help me tonight. Lord, this is close to my heart. Lord, we need to be a King James using church from now till the trumpet sounds. And help me, Lord, as I try to make these remarks about why I use the King James Version. Bless Buffalo Ridge, Lord. Keep us true to thee till the trumpet sounds, I pray. And bless us tonight together. Holy Spirit of God, would you help? Help me and help each one in this auditorium. Oh God, we need your help as we look at the Word of God together in Jesus' name. Amen. Since the Authorized King James Version came in on the scene in 1611, there have been over 120 English translations of the Bible and over 200 English translations of the New Testament. So that's version confusion unless you know where you're going, see. And in the last century, we saw a steady flow of modern English translations come on the market, claiming to be more readable and translated from ancient, and you have to be careful that's ancient and better manuscripts. That's corrupt manuscripts. They're better manuscripts, are corrupt. We have seen the New American Standard Bible, NIV, NEB, RSV, New King James, Living Bible. There's a cotton patch version. On and on, the version merry-go-around goes. Now, and by the way, let me say this. Our forefathers came over from a great revival over in North Carolina, come across the North Carolina mountains, here to Buffalo Ridge, and founded Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and they used the King James Version. Thank God for that. And God has mightily blessed the King James Version for almost four centuries. And almost all Christian colleges and seminaries and many thousands of churches have been founded through the use of this God-blessed version. The Holy Spirit has used the King James Version in winning millions of souls and in sweeping revivals over these almost 400 years. Every one of the great revivals, the man of God used the King James Version, and God anointed that version and spoke to hearts. And we just had a great revival up in Bristol. And Brother C.T. Townsend used the King James Version, and God blessed every night. If you didn't go, you missed a great blessing. But now, should we abandon the King James Version today and use NIV or NEV or NASV or one of the newer translations, because they say the King James is supposed to be outdated and hard to understand, and many believing that. You get your heart right with God, get born again, the Holy Spirit will help you to understand the King James Version. Should we stay with, I better not get off on too many rabbit tracks or we'll be here all night, Brother Jody. But should we stay with a God-blessed King James Version? Or should we listen to these slick money-making promoters and the new evangelical and liberal brethren and even some fundamentalists and choose one of the modern translations? Now, I think you know Gene Lashley's all. I made my decision many years ago. I will keep using the old King James until the Lord calls me home or comes in the air. I'm going to be a King James man. And this evening, I want to speak on you why I use the King James Version. And by the way, it's vitally important for the future of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and I thank God Brother Jody's committed to the King James Version. It's important that we emphasize the King James Version at this church. And I want to give you some technical reasons. I use the King James Version. And then from my heart, I want to give you some simple, practical reasons and personal reasons I use the King James Version. Now, these technical reasons, listen closely. I've been to college 4 years and spent 3.5 years in graduate school, but I'm not a biblical scholar. I don't claim that. I'm just a God-called preacher to preach the Word of God. That's my calling. That's what I'm trying to be. However, I believe the Holy Spirit gives discernment to those of us who want to do right and want to please God. I believe He gives us discernment. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Better loose my, I'm getting wound up just a little bit here. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And listen closely, and I'll give you a few technical reasons why I use the King James Version. And I'll try to keep them simple. But they are a little involved. Just listen. First of all, I use a King James Version because of its accuracy and beauty. Everyone has to agree that the authorized King James Version is the most time-honored and beautiful version of the Bible in the English language. Dr. Phelps of Yale University said the crowning achievement of the Elizabethan period of English literature was the authorized translation of the Bible, which appeared in 1611. The modern translation gives us a corrupted use of the English language. But even more important is the accuracy of the King James Version. You can trust the King James Version. The King James translators believed in the word-for-word translation from the Greek New Testament and Hebrew Old Testament into the English language. Now, folks, that's important. That's very, very important. In our King James, we have the words of God in our language. And now, listen closely on this now. Most of the newer versions, such as the NIV, NEV, NRSV, others like that, they use what is called dynamic equivalence. They don't translate it into the English language. Now, follow me close now. They don't translate from the Greek and Hebrew into the English language exactly like it is in the Greek and Hebrew. They put their words to it. They add to and take away from God's word and say this means about the same as what the original says, but in a more understandable, they call it dynamic terms. And you may not understand this, but dynamic equivalence just simply means, and most of these versions, they put dynamic equivalence, they put what man thinks in there. And they have changed God's word. Old Satan himself is the daddy rabbit of dynamic equivalence. And God warns us to turn over to Revelation 22. I want you to see that. The Lord Jesus Christ warns us right here. Some of the last words the Lord Jesus gave in the Revelation, the last, turn it to Revelation 22, verses 18 to 19. And the Lord himself revealed the book of Revelation to John, the apostle. And in verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and the things that are written in this book. See, it's a dangerous thing to touch God's word. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. And the King James translators wanted us to have God's word, so they gave us verbal or word for word translation. And that's why I use King James Version. When I stand up here and preach, I don't only preach God's word, but I preach the words of God. Isn't that great? We not only preach the words of God, but the words of God. That's why I use the King James Version. And I have serious doubts about all the other versions. Then the second technical reason, King James translators were godly, scholarly men. Now, we could spend a lot of time on this, but I wouldn't agree with the King James Version translators on every little thing. They were Church of England men. But the thing is, they believed God's word was without error or contradiction. And they believed Genesis was accurate and to be taken literally. They believed in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If you believe that, you don't have trouble believing less than the Bible. They believed in a six-day creation of the earth and the worldwide flood. That causes liberal conniption to say that. And they believed in the creation of man by the direct act of God, the King James Version did, and not by evolution, as some modern translators believe. And not only were the King James translators godly, but they were scholarly. As any modern Bible translator, and probably more than most modern Bible translators. There were 54 scholars who were assigned to the seven-year project of the King James, and 47 finished. That is, some died before they finished. Now let me mention just one or two of the translators. John, B-O-I-S, John Boyce, was reading the Hebrew Old Testament through when he was 5 years old. He was a genius, mental genius. He was an expert in all forms of Greek and became Dean of Canterbury in 1619. Lancelot Andrews was a leader of the Old Testament translators of the King James Version and was chaplain to Queen Elizabeth. He was fluent in 15 modern languages as well as Hebrew and Greek and other biblical languages. That's a pretty good resume on a man for a translator. On and on we could go, but the King, I don't have time to spend on that, but there's a books on that. But on and on we could go about the King James translators were great biblical and linguistic scholars. No group of Bible scholars before or since could excel the King James translators. Now we come to the technical issues, the Textus Receptus. Now I know that's, what is the world preacher, Textus Receptus? Well, that just means the received text from the days that it was written right down through the time. Is the received text. Most of the churches, it was generally received, and that's what received text. Now, I'm not going to go into detail on a complicated study of manuscripts. I couldn't if I wanted to. But I know that the King James New Testament was based on the Textus Receptus, that is the received text, that the God's people down through the years till about 1600 used that. And then they gave us the King James Version. And they are far superior to the text of all modern versions. For instance, the NIV, NASV, and RSV, and other modern versions of the Old Testament were based on Kittel, Hebrew reference text. And Gerhard Kittel was a German higher critic who rejected the Bible as the inerrant word of God and believed in evolution. Then the two men responsible for compiling a Greek New Testament that replaced the Textus Receptus, the King James Version, is based on B.F. Westcott and F.J. Hort. Now, I didn't realize this when I was in school, but right here I used that in the school. I went to college and seminary and used that. And no, they never did tell me anything about these translators. But let me move on quickly here. Now, these Westcott and Hort were the leaders of the English committee who produced the English Revised Version of 1881. While in college, listen now to these translators that give where we get the RSV and all these other versions. This is where all the modern versions, except the King James Version, come from. While in college, Westcott formed a club and chose for its name Hermes, H-E-R-M-E-S. Who is Hermes? He is a god of magic and a conductor of souls to Hades and the Lord of Death. That sort of sounds a little spooky to me, doesn't it, you? And then Hort said in the letter, the King James Version is villainous. And what he's saying is my and your King James is a villain. And Webster says villain means scoundrel or criminal. In other words, Westcott and Hort, who gave us, and all the modern versions come from it, they say the King James is villainous and bad. Okay, and Hort also said the fifth theory of evolution is unanswerable. Then too, Hort said, I reject the infallibility of the Holy Scripture. How anyone could use a version put out by these men? But both Westcott and Hort, the daddy rabbits of all these new versions, denied the Bible as inerrant word of God, and they promoted Spiritism and were pro-Catholic. They both denied a literal devil, literal heaven, and literal hell. I just can't understand why any Bible believer would back Westcott and Hort and these modern versions. I can't understand it. And some of the leading scholars who rejected the King James Version and gave us these modern versions were liberals and evolutionists and men who did not believe God's word from cover to cover. They believed it was shot full of errors and contradictions. It is my opinion when we get to heaven, we will find that all these modern versions were not inspired of God, but a work of men and maybe of Satan himself. Now let me get off the technical reasons. There's a lot more could be said on what I said on the technical reasons, but folks, don't worry about your King James Version. It's on the right foundation. It's God's Word. It'll take you from earth to glory. You can be sure you have the Word of God there. But let me give you some personal reasons why use the King James Version. You've heard these before, but you're going to hear them again tonight too, because it's why I use the King James Version. I am a King James lover and user because of some very practical, personal reasons. I believe the Holy Spirit led me to the King James Version. As I look back over my life, I am sure the Holy Spirit, who is the author of God's Word, moved over my heart and mind and soul for me to read and love and preach the King James Version. I'm sure the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said in John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into what? All truth. And two or three times, I've tried to give up the King James Version because I was around people that boo-hooed it and said the other translations were better. But I tried to give up the King James Version, but I'm glad the sweet Holy Ghost wouldn't let me. And he lovingly led me to come back to the King James Version. Now let me say this. I'm strong against all these other versions. Let's be kind to them, those people that believe have other versions, and let the Holy Spirit lead them back to the King James Version. Then second, I have seen the confusion other versions bring to the cause of Christ. How many remember when the Revised Standard Version first came out? Raise your hand if you remember it. I mean, folks, When the Revised Standard Version came out, there was division and conflict in churches all across the country. I was on a panel up in on the version controversy in Johnson City at the Independent Fundamental Churches of America meeting up there a few years ago. And the pastor stood up and he said he started using the NASV at a church up in Kentucky, and they run his hide off and caused confusion. When that pastor put that new version in, it caused confusion in the church. And some of you ladies and men too remember years ago, June Silvers was a wife of former music director here at the church, and they moved to Morristown, and she called me up one day, and she had gone to a revival where Fred Wolf, a Southern Baptist evangelist, very good man, he was a conservative preacher, and preached in this revival at Morristown. June said, I had a NIV, and the lady friend of mine had a NASV. And now listen, notice closely what I'm saying. And she said, Brother Wolf preached a message on a verse from his King James Version, and that verse was left out of the NIV and the NASV. She said, Preacher, what's going on here? And she called me up perplexed. I told her, those two versions that you all had came from a different Greek manuscripts than you, the King James Version used. And thousands of words in those two versions, I told her, had been changed or words added in or subtracted. And many verses we have in our King James Version are left out of these new versions. So that's confusion, caused confusion. And the two English scholars, Westcott and Hort, who they were evolutionists and did not believe in an inerrant Bible. Westcott and Hort changed the Textus Receptus in 5,600 places. And I don't want to use 20 or 30 different versions. When I preach to a crowd, I don't want everybody to have their own version. I want one version. Let's just keep bringing the King James Version to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, the King James users are accused of being divisive and troublemakers. The real troublemakers in the body of Christ are those who try to push these other versions on us. When I was a boy in Sauter, Tennessee, every church in North Hamilton County, regardless of Pentecostal, to Methodist, to Baptist, Free Wills, congregates, everybody. There wasn't any Catholics up there, so everybody had a King James Version. So you can see where the confusion has come in today. And the King James Version was used in churches across America until these new versions came on the scene. Then the third reason, a personal practical reason that I use the King James Version, because of the crowd who opposes the King James Version. The devil hates the King James Version. The apostates hate the King James Version. Roman Catholics hate the King James Version. The King James New Testament comes from the Textus Receptus, and Dr. Hort called it that vile Textus Receptus. The Greek New Testament compiled by Westcott and Hort replaced the Textus Receptus, and it is used in most colleges and seminaries as revised by two liberals, Irwin Nestle and Kurt Allen. Now, I had to get that. Right there it is. That right there was revised. I don't know where I've ever used it much or not, but these two men are evolutionists. And along with Westcott and Hort. And today the United Bible Society's Greek New Testament uses the Allen and, what did I call that? Allen and Nestle. Nestle and Allen, a New Testament. And didn't even believe in the inspiration of the Bible. Now, who put out the Revised Standard Version in 1952? The Liberal Apostate National Council of Churches. And King James Lashley preached his first sermon, therefore, when I was down in Mississippi, out of this Revised Standard Version right here. And it was, and the copyright was by the Division of Christian Education of the National Council of Churches, an apostate church organization here in America. And let me see where I am now. Then the head of the committee that gave us the American Standard Version of 1901 and a professor where I was at in Southwestern Baptist Seminary told us it's the most accurate of all versions. And the head of the committee that gave us the American Standard Version of 1901 was a liberal evolutionist, Philip Schaff, S-C-H-A-F-F. He was twice tried for heresy and taught at the Liberal Union Seminary. You see how the devil's getting in all these versions. And go in any liberal or compromising church in America, and better than 9 out of 10 times, that preacher will not use a king. If you go in a church visiting and they use some other version, get out of there. And they will use the NRSV or NIV or NASV or some modern version. But on the other hand, go in a Bible-believing, fundamental, sin-killing, Christ-exalting church where they believe in holy living and don't use this contemporary junk, and that's music I'm talking about. And what version will that preacher use 95 to 99% of the time? He'll use, or maybe 100% of the time, he will use the old King James Version. Let me move on here. By the way, let me read how much time? I've got a few more minutes here. I believe it's Dr. Ron Comfort told me that across America, when a preacher and a church gives up the King James Version and starts using a modern version, it is noticed that usually they start going off in other areas too. So when you go into church that uses other versions, you can expect them to be off in other things. And Jesus said, by their fruit ye shall know them. And then also, I use the King James Version today because of my devotional use of the King James Version. Folks, when I was in high school, and I've told you this many times at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, but this is the reason, one of the reasons I went in the ministry, that I'm standing here 46 years and standing tonight. When I was in high school, my Sunday school teacher at the Saudi Methodist Church challenged her teen Sunday school class. And by the way, all every Methodist, every person in that Saudi Methodist church believed the Bible. Live good lives. Till liberalism come in. See, that's what liberalism is killing. And it's kill America, it'll kill America politically too. But let me get back to this. Now, I don't have time to get on politics. I'll let Trump handle that. But this teacher at the Saudi Methodist Church challenged her Sunday school class to read. Now listen to this. She challenged this dedicated, dear Miss Jessie Lovelady, challenged her teen Sunday school class to read 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday. And you can read the Bible through in a year. That's not too bad, is it? And you know what? The Lord laid it on my heart for me to do that. And I read the Bible through that year, and next to my salvation, it was the greatest spiritual thing spiritual that's ever happened to me. And folks, for over 70, and I'm not bragging, God knows I'm not bragging, I praise his name and encourage you to read the Bible through every year. For 73 years, I've been reading my old King James through year after year. And I say humbly that hundreds and thousands of times, Over the years, as I've read my King James Version, hallelujah, I felt the wonderful, sweet presence of God. Before me, as I had the Bible open, I could feel the sweet presence of God on the pages of the Word. Hey, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God. You say, I want to be filled with the Spirit. Get in the Word every day and you'll be filled with the Spirit. Live with the Word. And many times, I faced problems and did not know what to do. And the Lord would speak to me as I read and meditated and wept over the word of God. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And folks, if we're going to know the presence of God, know the power of God, we're going to have to learn how to be broken before God. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, I will not despise. And when I got out of school, after 19 and a half years, and I've told you this before, but it's precious to me. Here I had all this education, and as a single man, nobody wanted a single preacher. They wanted a man with and his wife and kids come in. Most times they had parsonages in. But I got out of school, went back to Saudi, and I took my King James Version and would go up in the Saudi mountains and spend hours each day. And for weeks, I'd go up there. I didn't have any money. I lived off my mother for just a little while. I was broke. I didn't have anywhere to go, home to mama and to the Lord. And I'd spend my time up in the mountains praying. I'm thankful that God pulled a rug out from under me and made me for weeks and weeks and weeks go up in the mountain and just had fellowship with the Lord. You don't know what a great time that was. And I would say, Lord, surely there's some place across the country where I can serve you. And I said, Lord, close every door but the door you want to me to enter. And I got a call from Dixon in Sterling, Illinois, to come up and be a Youth for Christ director. And God opened that wonderful door for me up in Illinois. I spent 4 years up there and saw hundreds of teens saved in Youth for Christ. And then a few days after I got in the will of God up into Illinois, I preached in a Mennonite church in Sterling, Illinois. They had to go to their grade school for their service because the church was all getting ready for the Christmas, for the vacation Bible school program that night. And I preached in Sterling, Illinois there, and there sat Ellen, as pretty as you please. And in just a few weeks, as you know, she proposed to me. Ellen says, I say that so much that I'm beginning to believe it now. But I started reading through my King James Version and each year. And 73 years ago, I started this. And God, I encourage everybody to read the Bible through every year till Jesus calls you home or comes in the air. And God will bless you. God will help you home. It'll help your marriage. It'll bring your children up to serve God. They see my old daddy. I'll be through in a minute here. I'm just about trying to wind up. I'd see my old daddy come home from the coal mines. My mama would feed us. We'd have every night. He had fried potatoes and cornbread, pinto beans, and a glass of cold iced tea every night. And when he'd get through, he'd go over and sit on the edge of the porch, read his Bible, look up at the mountains. And I said, well, I'm glad for my dad and mom he gave me. And my dad, I'd sometimes hear him look up at the mountains and sing, Jesus, Savior, pilot me over earth's tempestuous sea. And the Lord gave me a great daddy, and I thank God for that. Let me get back where I was and I'm allowed. I'm just about through. I'm trying to find a place to land here. But let me go on to the next. I forgot where I was there. But anyway, the fifth reason, because the personal, practical reasons I use a King James, because of the influence of my mother. And when I went home 1 year after I played a little football down in Mississippi, and I went home, I'd got that Bible. I went home to my mother and told her I'd started preaching. And I got a Bible, the Revised Standard Version at the Main Street Baptist Church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. They say it was the latest, most up-to-date version, the Revised Standard Version, and it's going to replace the King James Version. I fell for that lie until old King James Lashley went home with his RSV. And I showed my mama my RSV, and she said, Gene, you're not preaching out of that, are you? It's a bad Bible. My mama had a sixth grade education. She said, it was put out by the National Council. Don't tell me you can't understand this tonight. My mother did with a sixth grade education. She said it was put out by the National Council of Churches, and 30 of the 95 translators have a communist front record, and they took version out of Isaiah 7:14 and put young woman in that right there is enough to burn every one of their RSVs as far as I'm concerned. And she had been listening to Dr. J. Harold Smith on the radio. And I sort of resented when she first got on me about my RSV. Here, my mama's sex-free education jumping on me, a big college boy. But you know what? The Spirit of God convinced me down in my soul that my mama was right. And I went back to preaching out of my old King James Version. Now, humanly speaking, the greatest reason I use the King James Version today is the influence of my uneducated mama. If she had been a cigarette-sucking, card-playing, show-going, two-timing, dancing, social butterfly, sex pot for a mother, I would have been still using the RSV today, I'll guarantee you. Or probably, if I'd had a carnal worldly mama like talking like that, I'd probably never gone in the ministry. I might be in hell tonight if I'd had a mama like that. I'm just about through here now. Well, anyway, let me just quickly summarize the last two reasons. Because God has blessed my preaching from the King James Version the 46 years I was here. That's the reason. Let me just say this. I felt the touch of God on me as I've stood and preached the King James Version for all these years. And there's no way I would use another version. One of the last things, and I'll make this quick. I'm going to continue to use the King James Version because I was saved through the preaching of the King James Version. On Sunday night, July the 15th, 1945, I went to a revival meeting. And the Holy Spirit of God was there. And they gave the invitation. I'll make this quick. And the pastor said, you've been praying for somebody, go stand up. And I was sitting over on this side, and five or six people came by me and just stood there weeping. I didn't know they were concerned. Never did know that. And folks, tears will do more to win people than almost anything you can say to them. If you show them you're broken and you don't want them to die without Christ and go to hell, that'll do more than anything you can do. But anyway, my mama was sitting on the other side, and she come over and she didn't have to say a word. I went forward and held to the old fence and mourner's bench, and groomer Jed, a deacon, put his arm around me and said, "Gene, will you trust Christ?" And I said, "Yes." And that night, I walked into that church in spiritual darkness and walked out of Oak Street Baptist Church 73 years ago. And I've been walking in the light ever since. I was born again that night. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born of, again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which abideth forever. That preacher stood that night and used the King James Version, which I believe is the incorruptible seed. Thanks God. Thank God he did. That is why I use the King James Version. Now, folks, I got to quit. Let's love it. Let's read it, let's believe it, let's heed it, let's teach it, let's preach it, let's defend it until the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes in the air for us. Amen, preacher Lashley. That's it. Brother Jody, it's yours. If you can pick up the pieces now, come ahead.
Let's all bow our heads, please, and close our eyes. Aren't we grateful for a pastor emeritus who still has the fire of God in his heart and soul? We praise God for it. As they begin to play through softly, I never want to let a service come and go without giving somebody an opportunity to trust Christ, because I don't know your heart. And I don't know how the Lord's using this to speak to you. I never want to take for granted that you're a born-again child of God. So if you're lost tonight, need Jesus, come. But here's how I'll tell you how the Lord's been speaking to my heart. about this invitation. Aren't you glad you have a copy of the Word of God? Aren't you glad that you hold in your hands a copy of the inspired, inerrant, infallible, incorruptible, I mean indispensable, indestructible Word of the living God? And maybe you just want to get out of your seat and just can't come thank the Lord that you have a Bible. There are folks around the world tonight who don't have one. And here we are, we have one. You thankful for the Word of God? Let's come and tell the Lord about it. Father, would you touch it? Would you bless it? Would you breathe upon it? In Jesus' name. Amen. As they play through, if you want to come, come on, come on. Just come thank the Lord that you have a copy of the Word of God. Surely there's more than that. Surely, surely. I'm not saying that everybody needs to come, but if God prompts you to do it, maybe you want to make an altar out of your seat there and just thank God that you have a copy of the Bible. That's what it's about.